This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back into The Boss and the Gloss. I am the boss tonight. I am filling in for our illustrious boss, David Gow. And, you know, it's been kind of fun, you know, wearing this
don't
throne.
Get used to this.
Or sitting
I'm
on the throne wearing this crown.
Over here.
This has been amazing. With us right now, we have a very special guest, a three-time Pro Bowler, three-time first team. I mean, I can keep going on. Three-time Super Bowl champion.
Let's not forget.
College Football Hall of Fame. Randy Cross, in charge of protecting probably one of the greatest quarterbacks in our generation. Randy, thank you so much for taking some time tonight.
Thank you. And not to correct you on things, but I will. The greatest quarterback of all time.
I agree with you, Randy. I'm not going to argue on that.
I'm not sugarcoating it either. I am 100% with you. I mean, I admire everything that Tom Brady has done, but I think given
Joe Cool, the comeback kid.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah,
He never threw
an interception in a Super Bowl, never lost a game. Never got caught cheating doing it. I could go on, but I won't.
Well, you know, actually, Randy, that is one of the questions I wanted to ask you. Playing with Joe Montana, like, what do you see? And you started to get into a little bit. Compared to today's quarterbacks and their styles, what can make us appreciate Joe Cool even more?
Well, I think the most significant difference, because, you know, you can make an argument, and I think if you make the argument, you'd probably be right, that today's quarterbacks throw the ball as well, if not better, than most any other group of quarterbacks that have ever played the game, mainly because they've grown up doing it. I mean, they've been in high school offenses and college offenses, pro offenses, where they throw 30, 40, 50 times a game. So they're really, really good at it. And if you add the fact that nowadays they can't be touched, especially if they're of that elite status, you know, you can barely breathe on them, and you're going to get a penalty. That's the thing that I'm sure guys like, you know, Joe and Warren Moon and some of the other Hall of Fame types, you know, even Phil Simms and Rippon and some of those guys that face some pretty good defenses, they have to watch the game today and kind of chuckle when they see what, you know, roughing the quarterback amounts to nowadays, because, you know, the fact that some of these guys survived and they're the double digits and, you know, mid-teens as far as years in their careers is nothing short of just an amazing thing that is a testament to their toughness.
So who, in your opinion, then, out of, say, the young quarterbacks, the guys who have been drafted the last couple of years, whether it be like a Marcus Mariota or a Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, or
Deshaun Watson,
or even the incoming class of quarterbacks, do you see any similarities? Anyone who could not replicate what Joe Montana was able to do, but do you see anyone who can be somewhat similar?
Well, you have to remember, you know, when we won the Super Bowl in January of '85 against the Dolphins, and, you know, there's been, heck, since then, probably decades or generations of people that have said Marino's the best thrower of the ball they've ever seen, him or Elway. But in that Super Bowl at Stanford, Joe had a Super Bowl record for rushing yards that wasn't broken for about, I think, 30 years or so, maybe 40 years, 30 years. So it's mobility. I think the ability to not only move, but also to move to throw. That's highly, highly underrated. And I think that's one thing when you watch Deshaun Watson, you know, obviously before his injury, but the thing that you watched kind of almost before your eyes, him develop that ability. Not that he didn't do it at Clemson some, but, man, with Houston, he really seemed to be getting that whole concept of when you move, you know, move with the mission of buying yourself time to throw the ball. And it's something that, yeah, I think Roethlisberger, especially in the first 10 years or so of his career, kind of developed into an art form. But, you know, the young guys, I love Jared Goff. I love Carson Wentz. You know, we gotta keep these guys healthy. That'd be a great thing.
Number one.
But, you know, I'm a big fan of Deshaun Watson. I like guys like Lamar Jackson in this draft and Mayfield. You know, not so much Darnold and Rosen, but, you know, I think the guys that can move early on in your career, it's invaluable because, you know, guys that move usually go fairly high, and guys that go fairly high usually go to teams that don't protect the quarterback very well. And you better be able to move if you're going to live.
No, it's so true, Randy. And you brought up the point of Deshaun Watson. I mean, yes, he was forced to move a lot more with the Texans' very porous O-line than he was at Clemson. So question for you, you know, as a center and a guard in the league with your whole career with the 49ers, what do you think nowadays? It seems there are so many subpar offensive lines and everyone's looking for that left tackle. Why is there a shortage of lines that can really protect the quarterback? Is it training? Is it college isn't preparing? What is it? Or is it just flat out it's not a sexy position that people don't try to, you know, master?
Well, part of it, and I love the question because, you know, I think it's something that we're going to have to face in football more and more as, you know, the physical violence starts to get almost legislated out of the game. You know, for instance, three-point stances. How many linemen are used to being in a three-point stance in college, mm-hmm. much less in high school, much less in the pros? So, you know, they're truly more defensive than they are offensive. They're not assertive. They don't go after people. They absorb. And, you know, I think you have, when you look at how many teams in the league make offensive line a priority, you know, hey, mm-hmm. you can count those on one hand, especially from a pay standpoint. You know, Seattle did that for a period of time, and that got them to a couple Super Bowls. But then they had to make a decision. Are we going to pay this line, or are we going to pay our defense, which over the next couple of years we're going to have to deal with? And that's sort of the catch-22 we've seen over X number of years. I mean, the only team that's done it effectively has been New England. And that's only because they've had a guy like Dante Scarnecchia who can coach that position as well as anybody that's ever done it.
Joe Montana, Dan
Marino, yeah.
All those guys would probably, or you know, would love to play in this NFL. Do you think with the penalties against, you know, hitting, roughing the quarterback, or even, you know, sneezing on the quarterback, do you think that plays an influence on, you know, maybe we don't need to bolster the offensive line as much?
Well, I guess that's the rationalization, but you know, how many Super Bowls would Seattle have won if they could have protected Russell Wilson,
mm-hmm.
or just
could have kept Marshawn and kept Marshawn Lynch in that pounding running game?
Or just run the ball
that whole offense,
fourth and one.
yeah. I mean, so it's you know, I'm a big fan of prioritizing, you know, certain positions. I learned that from my guy Bill Walsh that. Mm-hmm. Pounded that kind of into our brains, you know, as far as quarterbacks and linemen that can move and cornerbacks and pass rushers. And there's certain things you got to have, and you augment and add around that. And, yeah, I firmly believe not enough teams in the league do that.
You know, quick question for you, Randy, about the 49ers taking, you know, Bill Walsh left them in great shape, and now they've got new execs with second-year GM now, John Lynch, second-year head coach Kyle Shanahan. Do you like what they're doing, and do you think San Francisco's headed in the right direction?
I definitely think they're heading in the right direction. I thought, you know, for all the criticism that Jed York and that organization took, you know, a lot of it from guys like me, they made a fabulous decision. When they hired John Lynch, then they hired Kyle Shanahan. And probably the smartest thing they did from a stability standpoint is they gave them both six-year contracts.
I thought the same thing. That was really amazing.
Yeah, so when you see that, you go, well, wow, they're committed to these people. Because if they're not, they're going to be paying them for a long time. But the job that Lynch has done, sort of reestablishing that team, and he's got a good ways to go. You know, at the line of scrimmage, he's got a good ways to go on the defensive line. He's got to establish that team a little bit more assertively when it comes to talent at wide receiver, which they may answer here in the draft, as well as maybe another running back or two besides McKinnon. But, you know, with Garoppolo at quarterback, there is nothing that says that can't be a contending team with a few extra ads around it for, you know, what's a long time these days? 4 or 5 years? So yeah. In the league, if you're going to establish yourself long term, it's for those 4 or 5, and I like them for that period.
We've been talking with former Super Bowl, but I'm trying to remember all the different numbers, but four-time Super Bowl champion Randy Cross spent his entire career with the Niners. Randy, one final question before we do got to get going here. Mm-hmm. How's your bracket looking?
You know, mercifully, for the first time in a long time, I didn't touch it. I didn't do a dang bracket.
You picked the right year not to do it.
But you know what? Isn't this a great argument for the crowd that wants, like, 12-team playoffs and whatnot for football?
Sure.
We need it.
We're going to have the best example of who's the best team in college basketball. Well, regular season or by the time the tournament was over? Mm-hmm. Well, then you're going to have two champions because you're going to have the best team in the country and the one that survives. So I look forward to the day that the NFL and major college football looks at this whole thing and says, you know what, more is not better.
Yeah, I can't agree more. I can't wait for the day we have at least you know, expand it to 8 teams.
Randy, you're a persuasive guy. You get going on that. I'm in your camp for that one for sure.
Hey, four for college football is just fine. I mean, the playoffs last year, we identified the best team.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, you know what? NFL's got it pretty good. We don't need to. This doesn't need to be hockey. We don't need to get half the teams in the damn league.
Exactly.
Or the NBA, which does that too, right?
Yeah.
Randy, can't thank you enough for taking some time tonight.
All right, guys. No, anytime.
Right. Thanks for being with us, Randy.
It was my pleasure back in the day at Candlestick Park. It was a great time.
Well, you gave us so many great moments. Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye-bye. That was Randy Cross. Obviously, you know, one of the great offensive linemen to have ever played the game, protected Joe Cool, he, in his opinion, the greatest quarterback ever. And we can't really argue that.
I cannot argue with that. And it just shows you, too, all of Joe's teammates have the same reverence and passion for him that Randy Cross showed, which I think is really cool. We didn't get to mention that Randy Cross is a Hall of Famer, 2011 mm-hmm. inductee. And you're not going to believe this one, Ron. He holds the Crespi High School record in shot put.
Yes, he does.
67 feet, 6.5 inches with a 12-pound shot. Don't mess with Randy.
Don't mess with Randy.
Don't cross Randy Cross. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. Well, don't cross us either. We have plenty more to go. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.